Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm at the Interface space at Neocon, and I'm with John Wells, president of Interface Americas. John, how you doing?
Hey, Kemp. Doing great.
There's a lot of changes at Interface, and you know, one of the things that's most obvious since you're a publicly traded company is the financial results of this organization. The last two quarters have been profitable, increased sales, you know, a lot of good things going on at Interface, right?
Yeah, things are good, Kemp. I think the market's good, but I'm also very proud of a lot of hard work over the last couple of years. We've been in a period of change. If you look at what we've done with our product and sort of how the whole category has changed with carpet tile, things like skinny planks that we introduced, things like multiple textures, the tapestry product that we brought forward, we've introduced a lot of change into our business. And as such, the customers are using our products differently. So the last few years could be characterized as a lot of change of product, application, and of course, behind the scenes, that requires a lot of change. So how do you fulfill orders? How do you do everything fast and have it converge? And I'm really proud of our team, and you're seeing those results. Clearly, the sales rate is better, but also the performance and service, kind of our manufacturing quality and waste and costs are all really, really positive. So a big shout out to the Interface Americas team down there in LaGrange. A lot of really good things happening. And then when you look at Interface on a global perspective, you're seeing the same thing. I mean, you're seeing really strong performance in Europe. You're seeing that Australian business rebound, and you're seeing some really positive things in the rest of Asia. So Interface is in a great spot right now with the market beginning to grow, and carpet tile is the category. If you want soft floor covering, it's carpet tile. And Kemp, you know that, and Interface invented it, and we lead it, and we're just in a great place right now.
Yeah, let's talk about carpet tile for a minute. You pointed out in this space we're in right now, everything on the floor is plank. And you remember when tile first came out, you could tell it was square. You could tell where it started and where it stopped, and people were arguing over whether it needed to try to blend in or whether it needed to be quarter turned. And you go in this space now, you cannot even tell. I mean, the pattern has nothing to do with the shape of the thing. And it's just amazing how this product's evolved. It's night and day different from what tile used to be.
Kemp, there's been a lot of change, and I really would give a shout out to David Oakey and to the operations team there in LaGrange, because we brought this, what we call the tapestry equipment, to the marketplace, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it's really unique. And if you look down the floor, the tapestry machine, the way it operates, it can take the linear bias out of the carpet tile. And so you get a much richer, fuller, more organic texture and pattern. And so to your point, it absolutely hides any idea, if you want to hide it, the idea that it's a carpet tile. And then you're able to blend textures, and you're able to do all of this really upscale look. All of this is done at lower face weights. So yes, tremendous change in the category. For us, it's planks, it's squares, it's different size squares, and they all fit in a system. And so we're enabling the designer and the end user to really use their creativity and creating dramatic biophilic design floors.
Well, let me try to explain this though real quick, because you can denote a babbling brook. You can denote what would look like some hard surface concrete. Just through the change in texture, you can look at these things and tell kind of what the image is all about. Let's move straight as we go through this. Let's talk about one of your big messages around biophilia. I think this is the third year that you guys have been talking about this. And I know I did an interview recently on this Human Spaces report that you published. You know, out of that report, there's been studies done that show that people are happier in an environment that includes some piece of nature. And you're able to visually put that in the interior space, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think the biophilia, as you said, we began to talk about this about 3 years ago here at Neocon, and the story's evolved as we've evolved, and you see it evolving in the product, but also what you're seeing evolve is in the science that supports the theory of human impact and wellness and well-being about being in nature and associated with nature. So the impacts on humans are big in the workplace, and it is very much on trend right now. If you talk to major corporations, design and the interior built space is no longer just about branding or just about function. It's now about how are the humans feeling physically and psychologically in that space. That's very much what's happening. So you see senior HR people at the table now talking about things like biophilic design. So I love that. The fact that we've been in it and studying it now for a number of years, I think puts us in a great position to be a consultative resource and then bring it back to product, just like you did, Kemp. When you start looking at what we can do with the product and some of the primary themes of biophilic design, one of them is variation. One of them is creating textural variation, pattern variation that emulates nature, that brings it in, and that has a calming effect on the worker or the associate in that environment. And so there's a real relevant and very deliberate connection now between the product and this concept. At first, it was a little more out there. It was a little more of a philosophical discussion. Now, with this Human Spaces report and other things that are coming on, the science is really demonstrating the proof.
So it used to be that the flooring people, do we call on the designer? Do we call on the end user? And if we call on the end user, we're going to call on the facility manager because he's responsible for the buildings. But now you're going much deeper than that, and you're actually meeting with the HR people, and you're talking about a lot of this wellness now, aren't you?
Absolutely. Attracting talent has always been a big one. Retaining talent, and of course in this market now, it's a fairly low employment market, So talent acquisition and retention is a really big deal. But now you add the idea of wellness and well-being to it, and it's a completely different dimension. So all of a sudden, the HR team or the folks in charge of the people are into what the space design looks like and how it functions.
All right, so just another couple of recent news items I want to make sure we call out. I know you're continuing to do your network's fishnet thing, right?
Absolutely. What a fantastic story.
Just a quick reminder, the human nature interest about this is fishermen had a bad tendency when their nets tore up to just cut them loose and the marine life would get snagged up in it. You actually need that nylon that it's made out of to make your products. And so you've developed a system where there's enough value for these nets to be pulled out of the ocean and converted into carpet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fishing nets are generally a very pure stream of nylon material and can be converted through a depolymerization process back into a carpet fiber, much as our system to take old carpet and turn it back in. So it became a great feed source. And then we had some people on our team in Europe come up with this idea in partnership with the London Zoological Association to go to the Philippines and focus on these communities and create this business model. And so now a few years later, it's been very successful, but the environmental impact is big. Those fishing nets that are left just floating have a terrible environmental consequence. They wrap around reefs. It's a problem environmentally, and maybe this can really help change that.
You know, John, you work for a publicly traded company, and you know, publicly traded companies have to continue to bring shareholder value. They have to continue to grow. And you're focused on tile, focused on soft surface. While tile is the most rapid growing sector, soft surface overall is a shrinking market, but you're able to grow because you're finding new areas for the use of tile, right?
Yeah, our strategy really, Kemp, has been to open and pioneer new market segments with modular carpet. And so, you know, on the one hand, some may say it limits us with that focus. On the other hand, I believe it to be a great strength because we put all of our resources to innovate, whether it's hospitality or education or healthcare, whatever those vertical markets are, in addition to the corporate market. And we continue to open up opportunity. So we think the headroom for carpet tile growth is really big. There's a lot of opportunity. Most of the share change that you see has been residential. I mean, hard surface to soft surface. I think our job is to make this product so inspirational and aspirational that that doesn't happen in these other segments. And we feel very compelled to make that happen.
It's certainly one of the best surface for a work environment, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the one issue we haven't talked about that continues to be in multiple segments is acoustics. I mean, acoustics are big. The greater amount of hard surface, the more noise transfer. And so the higher the density in office space, the higher the density in education, the louder these environments are. They're looking for a textile to aid in the noise acoustic issue.
Okay, well, it's great to talk to you, John. I've been talking to John Wells, first day of NeoCon in Chicago. He's president of Interface Americas, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.